Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin. All right, we are out 1 week from Maker Camp post video, and lots of other things have been happening, including a new Maker Camp video. Devin, what do you got for us today?
Modern man is the victim of the very instruments he values most. Every gain in power, every mastery of natural forces, every scientific addition to knowledge has proved potentially dangerous because it has not been accompanied by equal gains in self-understanding and self-discipline.
It's a long one.
One more time. Modern man is the victim of the very instruments he values most. Every gain in power, every mastery of natural forces, every scientific addition to knowledge has proved potentially dangerous because it has not been accompanied by equal gains in self-understanding and self-discipline.
Okay. So basically, like, technology and innovation is going faster than we can adjust to it.
Right. And the funny thing is, this book that I get a lot of them out of, The Dictionary of Thoughts, I think was, it's, let me see when it's printed. Or its print date here.
It's like potentially like pre like internet. And...
Oh, for sure. It's probably like the 30s or something. It's old.
Yeah.
or maybe yeah, more. Maybe. What the hell? Oh, I'm sorry. Now. Sorry. Wait. All right. 61.
Okay, yeah. So there was like the kind of computers were kind of starting to come around, you know, with the space race and stuff, you know, and so it was that the climb, the intellectual and innovative climb and technological climb was already starting to happen, but yeah.
And we chase it, but things change quicker than we can adapt. But yeah. I feel like that's a topic that comes up a lot because we're always discussing like this maker thing and
yeah,
like it's a good thing and we're all trying to get back. We're all trying to slow it down. We're like all desperately trying to put on the brakes or some. Right. I think the older everyone over 30 is desperately trying to put on the brakes and then kids are just like shut up and move. But it's like, we're like, I don't know. This doesn't seem right. Does this seem right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, that's that that balance of what, like, do you utilize technology in what you're working on or do you not? You know, and if you, like, or how do you balance both, right? You can't, like, just turn your back on every new innovation, but there's a resurgence of the idea and the desire to learn and you know, keep some of these skills and things that we've known from the past, these like hand skills and making and doing, like blacksmithing. Like we're in like a golden age of blacksmithing where like tons of people are buying up anvils and doing blacksmithing because they enjoy it, because they're doing it for the fun of it, not because it's a job.
Right. You know? Yeah. So. If only you could go back 20 years and buy up all these things All blacksmithing tools and anvils and stuff. That would have been the biggest investment. Like,
lucrative movement. Yeah, right.
All these tools and things. And
yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, just in, I don't know. I was deciding between that and a quote about lies. Not that that was on my mind, but who knows? I just flip over the book and start to yeah. read.
That's a good one, though. I mean, I think that is so apparent in everyone's minds as makers. You know, we're always thinking about what do you do with the, you know, the newer technology and how do you incorporate that into stuff you make? Even when I was in college, I was doing learning guitar building with a good friend of mine, a couple friends, and we went and learned from a few different makers who were really starting to push what they could do with technology and guitar building. So using CNC routers and things to cut inlays and do all sorts of crazy stuff in the heads and necks, and using computers and using, you know, all sorts of jigs and things to do all the work that used to be done by hand. And they can do it, like, you know, some partially by hand, some with you know, machines, some with computers, you know, kind of doing a little bit of everything. And then, you know, when that was happening, which was in like 2007, maybe 2008, when I was kind of doing that, that was, at that time, the people who were using computers and CNCs and things to cut a lot of that stuff were just starting to get recognized for it, as in, like, the older makers and guitar builders and luthiers were always, like, turned their back on that as, like, you know, that's, you know, for the 10 years or 15 years before when it had just started. And then they're all getting older and their hands are hurting, and they're all starting to turn the corner and be like, huh, how does that CNC router work? How does that inlay, you know, machine work that you did all this stuff from? Like, can we do some crazy stuff with that? And then they're all, you know, starting to get interested. And that was, you know, that was like, what, 20 years ago.
I feel like a lot of people, they see early development.
Excuse me.
Sorry. They see early developments of stuff, and it's not as good, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And then someone eventually shows them, like, hey, no, this is what it can do. And they're like, wow, that's right. That's, like, perfect. Like, all
right. Right. So, they see, like, the first takes, you know. They see people's prototypes, and they're like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Right, yeah. Right. There's there's just a balance that everyone's trying to find. What can we use? And I think a lot of it is we are becoming more independent by being able to create things that were mass-produced for so long that we just couldn't create.
Right.
Now there's 3D printing and CNC machines and stuff that can cut out all this stuff, and we don't have to... we don't have to rely on some big company to do it for us. So that's the good improvement there.
Right.
That if you have an idea of something, you can build it right away and test it out and look at it and feel it. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I also like the point of that the quote about, like, we're not adapting quick enough for how fast technology is moving. So we don't know how to deal with it. So a lot of this is like the technology is moving forward at a crazy rate, and then we are reacting to that and figuring out how do we deal right. with the repercussions of technology moving as fast as it is. You know, so like even like a simple example would be students using cell phones in school, right? So they like always have their cell phones, or just people in general having cell phones. Like right. how do you combat that? How do you combat this like reliance on technology, and you know, use it in a good way. So like first we're like, okay, well, no cell phones in school, right? You have to focus. We're like, okay, well, but then cell phones actually have some purpose. Like, okay, well, maybe look something up. Okay, well, now we don't want to do that, so let's give all of them a, you know, a computer or an iPad or something, and then let's put the cell phones away, so we have this, like, you know, balance between the benefit and then the, you know, the detriment of these things, and trying to go back and forth and balance that and just react to it because it's happening so quickly. And it's not like we're not, as a society, designing these things around what their, you know, repercussions could be from making them. It's like, just push the technology forward and forward and forward and out. And then, you know, how far can we go? And then reacting to that. So,
yeah. And it's like we're throwing an apple at the wall, and figuring out what happens after it explodes. I was going to say water balloon, but that's too predictable.
Yeah, right.
An apple, it might just thump down and be okay, or it might explode into a 100 right. pieces. Depends how ripe it is. But we have yeah. no choice. We're just trying to catch up. But yeah, so here we are, but we're doing our thing, and technology yep. allows us to do a podcast at our own homes.
Yes, it does.
And yep. then broadcast it the next day to tens of 20 of people.
Thousands of people who listened to it over the 104 episodes.
But hey, we've been growing, I think, yep. a little bit. I've been watching slowly but surely. We're getting there. I was talking to the
Working Hands.
Yeah, Working Hands guys.
Yep.
Getting a little
Keith and Tony.
Yeah, getting some tips from them and stuff, having good talks with them. That was cool. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Oh, so, speaking of what a modern maker is, what'd you think of the video? You don't have to just compliment me. I want to know, because we haven't really talked about it other than writing back and forth, which is a little funny because you were so busy, you kind of saw after a lot of other people.
Yeah.
I was like bugging you. I was like, well, you need to respond to some people. Did you watch it? Did you watch it? Like,
yeah. And that's the thing. I don't think about watching them right off the bat anymore because I'm doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. But with that, like, although we were asking them the questions, I didn't know the outcome of the video. I didn't know how you were going to edit the video together. You know, we kind of talked about it, but it's different. Like with a how to video, I know how it's going to work, right? Because I did all the steps. So I know you're going to clip down to just a few seconds of each thing and work all the way through from start to finish. You know, there's a progression that I know it's going to happen. With this, I think you did a great job with pulling different people at different times and doing like the right amount of editing where nothing went on too long, or, you know, like you kind of captured the right, you captured a succinct feeling for each question, you know, so it had this like really like clean move through each question and a lot of like good answers and like short clips and long clips and similar clips and dissimilar clips. It just had a really nice flow to it. I was really surprised when it ended. I was like, wait, was that all the questions? You know, like I saw that it was like 28 minutes long or something, you know, like, okay, yeah, it seems like it's going to be a long video for just watching people talk. But yeah, like I said, it was like when it ended, I was surprised. You know, I was like, did I miss something? Or like, but no, it was like, we saw them all. And yeah, no, it was really good. I think I was worried that like all the additional sound would be distracting, but the mic is so, you know, individually focused that I think that was a good job. You know, there's background sound, which is good. I really like all that background sound because it feels like you're in the middle of things being happening,
right?
Being made, and like all the audio is really good.
Like you are, like we did. We were just grabbing people as we walked around,
right? Yeah, and just find a good light spot. Hey, yeah,
stand in front of these bulbs here.
Right, yeah, get some light in your face, and yeah.
Well, yeah, thanks. It was daunting a little bit. Anytime we, you know, we do, just like anybody, you're doing a new project, like the whole, is out the window, the formula.
Yeah, right.
We know what's happening. So, I mean, luckily, like we did, we talked about what we wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And it was somewhat focused. I mean, we knew we'd ask the question voiceover over some images of the camp and then have some type of titles. And we did those. And then we would just go through answers. And that was a tricky part but what I did do was instead of clipping everyone at once or every single person going through, I would just pull, you know, the first answer from everybody.
Right.
And then slide them all together and then start to shuffle.
Ah, nice.
Shuffle around that there. Okay, there's too many of these. Like I told you earlier, like these two are similar answers, so I want them together. But then the next time, I'll put them far apart.
Right.
I'll shift them. Just, I think that was the key, was not keeping one flow of thing, even though everyone had such great answers, it's because of them that it was an interesting thing to watch. But
right,
kind of keep change it every time. Like, we'll bunch everyone together on this, and then we'll move. And then the only answer that everyone seemed to agree on, or not everyone, I'm sorry, but like the same people, three or four people said, who would you want to meet? Nikola Tesla.
Nikola Tesla, yeah.
I was like, well, I got to bunch these together. It's funny.
Yeah, right. Tesla, it. Tesla, Tesla, yeah.
So I do Tesla, 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 and then I do everyone's explanations.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was interesting. Like, it must be, there must be some book or biography or documentary or something that's just come out recently. Like, it has to be, because that was a lot of people to say that one thing. And I heard other people talking about, you know, and mentioning Tesla over the like, you know, weekend. Yeah. So there must have been something. Like, I don't know. I'll have to, like, do a little research. But like, yeah, there must be some documentary or some new articles written about Tesla.
And I was surprised. There was a lot of people had really good answers. And yeah, I've, like, thought about the answers, what I would give, and I you know, it would have thrown me off as well.
So yeah.
People would be like, oh, and then they'd wait for a second and they'd answer. But most gave pretty quick answers.
Yeah, I know. It was really impressive. You know, I think as makers, we think about those type of things, and most people, I think, at least in that community, right, at Maker Camp, most of them are influencers or some, like, have some type of following on Instagram or on YouTube, or, you know, they're kind of used to thinking about why they do what they do, right? It's like, what's the point of all this? Like, why am I doing this? There's a reason, you know? So if someone asked me, like, what is a maker, you know, I'd have an answer pretty quickly for that, I think. You know, as I started answering it, it might change and flow as it goes, but, you know, I think about that. Also, I'm a teacher. I'm a design teacher, you know, and, like, so as an art teacher, a design teacher, I'm always thinking about what we are as artists. You know? Yeah. So, but yeah, the other one's like, you know, what tool would you be? Like, you want to think about, like, your favorite tools first, but then it's like, oh, wait, am I my favorite tool, or am I, you know, like, what tool shows my that's personality?
A
hard one.
Yeah,
you know?
It's kind of, really, a lot of those answers, it's like, what first comes to mind? You could think about it, but it's like some type of psychological test. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to answer just quick, and then we figure out what kind of person you are by your quick answers. But
what tool would it be? Yeah, and all the, like, tool jokes. Oh, you're a tool. I'm a tool. You're
right. Yeah, I put them. I put them at the other front. Yeah, it's like someone's gonna say, like,
kind of knew that was gonna come. You were like, oh, now we're gonna get the, like, I'm a tool answer. Mm-hmm. You know, like.
It was good. And actually, and to give you some props, there was a lot of laughter too, right? Mm-hmm. You were good. You were a warm interviewer, and you were just responding to people is key, which a lot of people don't think of. They'll just blast through the questions and not respond. But there was a lot more laughter than I thought there'd be.
Nice.
I don't remember that much. And then as I'm editing it, at the end of a lot of questions, there was laughter. So it was like, I'll leave some of that in, because that was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't really think about that, like, consciously, but as I was going along, you know, I wanted it to be kind of a conversation. Right. So, and then also just talking to people helps them to, like, give them a second to think through and, like, push them forward.
Right, right.
So trying to do that just to be like, oh, that's great. Or, oh, I love that answer. You know, like, 'cause then that gets them kind of warmed up and excited about it as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, some of that's my, like, my teacher mentality, you know, trying to push people to move forward. But, you know, it was also just me just being a maker, talking to other makers and having fun and being like, oh, that's a great answer. You know, or like it was, we were talking to Luke and Priscilla, and Luke was like, I'm something that's, like, hard on the outside, but soft on the inside. And I was like a dead blow hammer. Like, he's like, yeah.
Yeah. So. Trying to balance, like, not everyone got one for all seven. I don't think anyone had all seven questions.
Right. Right.
Cause either it was too similar or it didn't flow. Like, so I made sure everyone got on at least two or three times.
Right.
And,
yeah.
But it was tricky, but I got it done. I'm happy with it. There was one thing at the end. I had a different piece of music under it, and this is, again, where the guitar thing comes in. And I had, for some reason, I had been playing, there's this Avett Brothers song called No Hard Feelings, and it was in a documentary by, I forget, but I had seen the music producer Rick Rubin talk about it and describe this amazing one-take song that they had recorded, and it's on YouTube. Maybe I'll show you the link, or maybe that'll be my recommendation. But
yeah, right on.
Super emotional, kind of like end of life song. Even though they're young, but talking about, and I think he was going through a divorce, all this stuff. But it's beautiful. Him and his brother singing, and then at the end of it, Rick Rubin being really like excited and happy, like, "Oh, that was awesome, guys! Like, what's next?" And they were so like, what's next? Like, we need a minute. Like, they'd put everything into it, and his enthusiasm was annoying them. Hey, man. Like, and then, but he joked about it later on. He's like, I didn't know they were in that headspace. I just had thought we had captured this amazing thing. Let's keep it going. But anyway, there's that song and that chord pattern I'd been playing, a lot that day because it was fun and I was learning it and singing it to my daughter and stuff and having fun, and then it worked perfect. That last little guitar thing at the end, like the more emotional kind of song, like chord progression, is that song.
Nice, right on. Yep. I noticed like halfway through the video the music start, but I don't know if that was like it actually started or if I just didn't notice it and it like got quiet and then started back up and I noticed it.
Yeah,
who was on? It was like maybe Robert Bliss or something.
Oh, well, there's actually, he posted something on Instagram saying, actually he posted that clip on Instagram.
Yeah, he actually reached out to me to ask if that was okay. You know, he's like, I just screenshotted it from you said, I was like, of course, go ahead, man, do it. Yeah. He was like, oh, it's so cool. You know, he's like, I only have like 5 followers and two of those are my mom. So
I was like, no. But, there was some music came in on him, and that was another thing I was trying to switch up when the music came in. Like, I didn't want to be like, boom, new question, new music, new question, new music.
Right, yeah.
I wanted to have music, then maybe stop. I think it stopped after the first question. Like, okay, here we are. It's getting going. And then for the second one, there might not be any. And then I start a little early. Yeah, I was just trying to, not make patterns.
Right.
Because then it gets, repetitive and boring, I thought.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, like I said, there was like, it didn't have that. Like, it definitely moved really quickly. I definitely noticed a lot of different backdrops and backgrounds, which I thought was cool.
Was great.
Yeah, because that's how Maker Camp is. There are all these weird little nooks and areas and different tents and, So that was cool. It was cool seeing all the different spots and places and also... us having done it, live back to those moments, when you like, when you catch someone walking around, hey, can we do an interview? Like when we did, Mooney, when we had Shane and we had him on, he was like walking by and he actually showed us his Maker, swap, which we talked about last week, which was the creative dice from, Lara and Simone. And so we captured him then, and it was like right where we were standing, just like in the middle of the field heading up to like the wood tent, but near the blacksmith tent. So it was kind of cool. Yeah. Like looking back at those different moments and, the kind of story around them, which was interesting.
Yes. Yeah. And we're patting ourselves on the back, but it was, the people we interviewed, they were great. Everyone was really, really good and different and insightful. And I think it's a nice thing to hear all these people's different opinions on it. Oh, there was one more point which I really liked was, Robert Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking to Tyler?
Woodwhisker?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Isaac's, Tyler Isaac.
Okay, yeah. And he, where he does this great whole answer about like, buy it, don't make it. Someone else can make it better than you ever could.
Right.
It's a really nice answer. And then right after that, it's what Tyler saying, like, Yeah, make it. Yeah, whatever. And then there's like, and then you see Robert turn his back and like give a little smile.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's great. I got to put these. I forget if I had those reversed. I don't know which way I had them, but I was
right,
like,
yeah,
that's great to have his answer and then that right back to it and him kind of look like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. That was good because
everybody was right.
Yeah.
Like we thought, we did go into it thinking it's an easy question, especially with makers. Right. Like everyone's just going to say, make it. I thought that would just be the end of the film. Everyone going, make it, make it, make it, make it, make it, make it, make it.
Right. Yeah.
But I didn't guess that people would be so giving. Like, oh, well, we also want to buy and we want to support the makers. And
right, yeah.
What's the guy, the Baltimore guy, the Micah guy?
Yeah, John Mulhern.
Yeah, he was cool. Where he was like, we got to, you know, artists have to support artists. Makers have to support makers because if we don't, right, no one else will. And that was a great answer, too. It's like, yeah, you're right, man.
Yeah. Also, when we asked him what tool would he be, and he said hands. Like that was good. I actually forgot he said that. And when I was like, ah, oh, cool. Like that's a great, you know, like that's the tool. Especially as like a fine artist, right? A painter or like a sculptor. We're so used to using our hands to manipulate the tools. So the hands are the tools. You know, it's like drawing, painting, it's all about hand eye coordination and making, you know. It's I was listening to the Working Hands or I'm sorry, the Yeah, the Working Hands podcast earlier on my way back from work, because they did like a two-part mashup like we did with Work For It, where they had themselves and the Makeshift podcast guys, who they actually did the Farrier's Rasp Knife Challenge at Maker Camp. I don't know if you saw them, like, you know, but they did that. It was like the four of them did a challenge and they all made the maker's knives. And then Uncle Sam Metalworks, I think his name is, he kind of did this like chopping test with them. But they were talking about what was I going with this? Something about hands, something about, oh, the hand-eye coordination. They're saying like, it's really cool because there are all these, you know, really skilled artisans and craftsmen and makers at Maker Camp in their specific field, but because when you get to a certain level of expertise in what you do, it takes a level of hand-eye coordination and a level of maker knowledge. So then when you shift that to something else, like they might go from the blacksmith tent over to the woodworking tent and going to like turn a pen where they're used to making hammers, you know, there's this level of coordination that we have as makers that you can kind of shift into another field and pick it up quickly. You know, and get this, okay, it takes this here, okay. You kind of understand what you need to do, all right, and you jump into it, you know. So it was cool hearing them talk about that as well, this, like, being able to shift the ability to be a maker, you know. Either, like, you focus on one thing, you could still shift into another thing, and you have this natural proclivity all off the bat right away to be, you know, like an athlete, right? Someone who's athletic might be able to play soccer and basketball and lacrosse because you have good hand-eye coordination and you're agile and, you know, coordinated. So that type of thing. So that was an interesting point of conversation.
Yeah. There was so many different viewpoints and stuff, and it was great. And everyone seemed to have fun with it and got a lot of nice comments from Jimmy DiResta, to everyone else who was in the video, and other people just over Instagram and YouTube. And it was, it's nice. So hopefully more people see it. But what can you do for an interview thing? You know, I don't know. But I'm glad the people that we like and respect saw it, and it will live on.
Yeah. I like the very first comment on the video was the word boring in all caps. Boring. I was like, that's hilarious.
Was that the first one?
That was the first one. It was either the first or the second. When I saw it, it was the first one. And then the second comment I saw was Dennis Tyrell, and he was, you know, very complimentary. And then I went and I saw that there was one response to that comment. So I went in and checked it out. And it was Dennis responding to that person being like, if you don't like it, you don't need to watch. And you also don't need to make any comments here. And I was like, oh, thanks, Dennis.
It was like, nice.
Exactly. Yeah, don't say anything at all. And then Dave Bauer commented as well. He's like, all right, I'm expecting to see your take on this type of thing, you know, then we'll see how well you do it.
Right, like, right on. Right, that's great.
So Yeah, it was that was funny though. I thought that was great. But then, you know, obviously all the rest of the comments, everything's been really positive so far. So it's cool. It's really nice. And like you said, I mean, that this type of video, this is not a, you know, it's not a, like we didn't expect it to be like a great, like tons and tons of people are going to watch it because that's, I mean, yeah, there's, it's such a specific thing, you know, like Maker Camp is, there were 700 people there, right? So the fact that we already have whatever it is, you know, like over that number of views is a positive. So it's like, right. Okay, yeah. Like, what are you going to do? You know, we have...
That's true. That's right. A good way to look at it. More people saw it than were at Maker Camp.
Right, yeah.
So if
right
we if has, we saw if we yeah. sat all of Maker Camp down and had them watch one of our videos, we'd be happy.
Right, exactly.
Like, oh, this is great. Yeah. Everyone here is watching, so...
Yeah. Yeah, it has 1,138 views, so...
There you go.
Yeah. And 101 thumbs ups and 3 thumbs downs.
Oh. but yeah, I'm glad it's done too. That was a beast.
Yeah.
To shift around and try to figure out. And yeah, I did a lot of reshifting and moving and changing music. And
yeah. And also, I mean, you had to listen to each interview then pick out parts that work together. So it's not like just picking out bits of making until they make sense in an order, you know, it's like, you like had to understand each of these conversations and then put them together, you know? So yeah, I definitely, appreciate that.
And the other thing, I mean, at least luckily I was there for them as well. Not that I right. could 100% pay attention to what they were saying as much, but at least I had a general idea of what they were kind of talking about, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember right. this guy was kind of positive about this, or this guy
right.
spoke about this kind of eloquently, but...
Yeah.
It's out there, so check it out, folks. It's...
Yeah.
It's 25 minutes of wit and wisdom, like we said. Dustin's yeah, Dustin's in it for 3.5 seconds.
Welcome to Maker Camp.
And his and hand. My voice. And his hand and, is yeah. there, and his laughter's my there. My hand.
Yeah, little like inputs here and there. Like you can hear me in the background, like commenting. Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, I like that. It was funny.
It would almost be worse. Well, not worse, but if it went hugely viral, it's like, wow, we took Dustin out of the video and we blew up.
You're like, that's all right. That'll come. I know, right? More videos of just me doing interviews.
All right, just hold this mic. Cool. All right, let's go.
My janky mic.
Yeah, which was who
else?
Great.
Yeah, it was great. Somebody else commented on the mic too. What
Justin did.
Was oh yeah, sorry.
Because he's like, ah, you know, that's Maker stuff. You were talking about doing this your mic and building that. That's yeah. Maker stuff.
Right, right.
And when Jimmy said janky mic and you laughed, it was at first I was like, oh man, he's making fun of our mic. But then going back and listening to it, he was saying that inspiration comes from anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And that it was kind of like, oh, he's like, oh, that's cool. Like you got this janky, it's a handmade mic.
Handmade. Right. Exactly. Like, and he like reversed, like, oh, he reversed engineered it like really quick. Right. Like, okay. Like, I see yeah, that you cut it out and you right. flat and you rolled it. And yeah,
I was like, hey. He's like, you take things apart in your mind and you get inspired by other things. And
right.
At first, I didn't think he was mean or anything, but at the no, time I was yeah. just like, oh damn, he's making fun of our mic. But then watching come back to it, I was like, oh, he liked it, and he was saying that it's that was just the word that came to mind because it is janky because it's just right. this metal like thing. It's not a professional mic. He's been around
yeah
professional crews for years and years, so he's like, oh, you got this little janky mic set up, but it works, and I see how you did it, and you take things apart in your mind and get right. inspired that way.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, he was it was like a It was a slid in comment, you know, saying that even something like this little handmade mic, which, you know, in all honesty, it took me an hour to make, right, or maybe an hour or two to make, and it was just it had to work for the thing, so it was like perfect that he like noticed it and then, you know, added it into the idea of something that can inspire you. You see how something's made, and you find inspiration everywhere. That was cool. Yeah.
So good stuff.
Yeah, and you're working on another video right now, which is going to come out in the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's done. It's up to step 9.
Oh, right on. Nice.
Pretty much yeah. just needs to be the axe. I mean, can we talk? Yeah, we can.
Right? Yeah, sure. Yeah, so we're doing, I mean, I think we alluded to it a couple of times before. Yeah, we're doing, you know, kind of a collaboration, more of just kind of like a You almost covered that cough up completely.
Did I not? Oh, did I?
You didn't get it all. It's like that. Yeah, so Brandon Roos from Whiskey River reached out to us and, you know, wanted to do kind of a little bit of a partnership and send us some stuff. And then we made a video on hanging an axe on one of the 30 C handles that they have. They actually just sent up an email today. Today is Thursday. This episode is coming out tomorrow on Friday, but he did put out an email and put new 30C handles on his website, which go really quickly because they're his, like, you know, premium vintage line, which are really beautiful and made from a vintage handle blank that he found or he acquired. Has made a few little adjustments over time and modifications, but really has, like, kind of honed in on this really beautiful, slim, vintage, you know, shapey handle. Mm-hmm. So he sent us a couple and we made a video, and the idea was he wanted to use our video, or he will be using our video, to show people how to hang an axe on the handle. I mean, he had gotten a couple of different questions and responses, and people, you know, were asking how to do it and saying, like, you know, maybe the eye is too big, blah, blah, blah. They're going back and forth. And so he wanted something to, like, someone to show people how to hang an axe on these, you know, vintage handles, the 30C handles. And so he wanted to send us a couple and sent us some wedges and stuff. And I've worked with Brandon over the years and, you know, kind of back and forth, you know, small companies and small businesses like us and him helping each other out. And so, yeah, so we made the video, and it's our content anyway. So it's not like we were making something that we've never done before. We people love our axe videos and, you know, they do pretty well. So we're happy to do one, and then it has a little bit more purpose. And the other thing is he's going to be sending out an email to his clientele, and then also when he sells a 30C handle, he'll send out an email, and a link to our video will be in that email. So people who buy them will then have a link directly to our video if they want to see how to make them. So we had the idea to do, like, the steps. So we did 10 steps, like 10 easy steps to hanging an axe. And kind of figured out what those steps were, kind of, you know, wrote them out like we did with the leather sheath video, and then, you know, kind of worked through step by step, like step one, this is what you do, step two, and just so to show those steps in a way that kind of breaks it down into a, you know, a manageable thing, you know. So 10 steps, it's funny because in my mind, hanging an axe is a lot less than 10 steps, but then when I write things out and be like, oh, I guess I do this and this and this, you know, there's, like, these kind of specific things that make it important to do, you know, that are important to do to make it work well and hang well and last.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, I feel like that happens every time we're making anything. You're like, oh, well, with this knife, we just got to sharpen it up and do this. And then, but then you're like, well, we got to sand these first, and then the bevels have to go in. Then we got to do that. And so you end up doing, yeah, like seven things when you're like, oh, we're just going to do this next.
Right. Exactly.
So
yeah.
I think to have a clean written out thing that someone, yeah, can follow.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the maker video, but it's you're writing in fast, right, motion. It's not the same overlay thing that we did, but right, it's you saying it and you're writing. Step one, do this, this, and this. And then we see you doing it and you kind of explain a little bit more in depth about each step. So it's pretty, right, straightforward. We're not skipping a lot. It's not that long a video, but it's not that short either. It's like, I think it's going to sit around 20 minutes. So
nice. Yeah.
It's not a crazy long one because it's, I mean, hanging axe handle wasn't super intensive, but you also, shape some parts of the handle, and obviously there's other things, yep, and you're talking. There's a few segments where I didn't want to break up what you were saying because,
right,
I wanted to keep it as one concise thought. You know, I didn't want to, right, I didn't, yeah, want to edit down too much, like always. I didn't want to lose information for
the sake of time or whatever.
Yes, for the sake of making it, yeah, 2 minutes faster, like it's a music video, which it's not. So I want you to sit down, pay attention, and have a nice relaxing time watching it. And hopefully, if you are hanging it and you're new to it or whatever, you can go step by step and go,
yeah,
step one, oh, he did this, and watch it, and you could do it right along with him, like some cooking show or something. I don't know.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, absolutely. And you know, some of my best comments I've gotten on videos over the years are the ones where we kind of lay it out in, you know, in steps, or like talk about this is what you want to do first, this is what you do next, and kind of give you those a little bit more in-depth, you know, look at how I think about breaking down, you know, making something. And a lot of people like really like those, and they reach back out and they want to get the list, and they want to, like, you know, they tell me how, like, they follow along, and then they'll send me pictures of the work they've done, and, you know, like, check this out, this is what I did following your tutorial and your list, blah blah blah, you know. So yeah, they you know, I think there's definitely like a very, there's a lot of benefit to that type of video out there. So, you know, a lot of the maker content online is not how-to videos. And a lot of what we do is not straight up how-to videos, but, you know, there's something important about teaching what you're doing and talking through it, and, you know, and illustrating those things that are not given when you're watching someone make it. Right. You know, when you see like a video of someone blacksmithing something, and it's like a real quick video, and it's all about the, you know, the flash and the hammer and the fire, and, you know, there's all these like little intricacies and, you know, little things that make what they're doing, you know, holding the hammer a certain way, or leaning into a certain way, or, you know, like there are little things that could really benefit, you know, if you added 5 more minutes or 10 more minutes to a video like that, where you're like, oh, now I can actually try this thing because I've gotten a little bit of, you know, this miniature version of taking a class and having something tell you the things that are a little bit different or that are specific about what you're doing that make it that much better and that much easier to try on your own.
Right. And it helps that you have someone ignorant about most of those things next to you to say, wait, what was that?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? Right. Oh, okay. Should we talk about that? Do you want to talk? Okay, let's talk about it. Yeah. Or you'll go, no, I'm fine. Like, okay, cool. Let's move on.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Or you're like, oh, yeah, I already said that. Like, all right, cool.
Yeah. So that'd be good. So that video should be out in the next day or two. And then those of you who are so inspired and want to head over to Whiskey River and pick up some axe handles or wedges or whatever it is you want to get. And, you know, Brandon does a really cool thing now where he's doing a live auction, or maybe not live, but an auction where he'll have a bunch of vintage axes and handles and all sorts of cool stuff that you can purchase through his website. So some of these things that you may never find in the wild, as they say, quote unquote, in the wild. And if you did want to pick up, you know, a cool vintage axe head or something, you know, you try to find it online, it might be a ridiculous amount of money potentially. So Brandon's like buying up these different collections of people's axes, and then he's reselling them or putting up an auction where you can have a few people who are kind of going after something. So you might be able to get it for a decent price. So that's kind of cool to check out.
If you're going to do that, or you're going to buy one of these handles, go through our whatever, affiliate link.
Affiliate link, yeah.
We'll get a little something
for
that. But that's the only really money that's going. It's just we just want to work with other people we like. So that's what we're just going to keep doing. And people want to collab and do stuff with. And then, you know, we're not worried about some payday or anything if we respect what you do. And we want to work with more and more people and just out there and build relationships and be happy with the products that we're using and with the people that we're working with. That's the main thing.
Yeah. And Brandon's just such a good dude, you know, so those are the people we want to work with, you know.
He's
a good guy.
So what have you been up to? I know we're going to wrap it up somewhat soon, not to spoil it, but what have you been doing?
So I actually went camping last weekend, and which was awesome. It was a beautiful weekend to go camping. It was like cool at night, you know, it was in like the low 50s, so it was like nice and cool in the tent. And then in the 60s, you know, in the middle during the day, like high 50s, 60s and stuff, it was perfect. And we had like a fire going the whole time, and nothing big planned. It was just like sit around and hang out and drink and have a bunch of good food and sit by the fire and good conversations. Now
that's a nice juxtaposition from Maker Camp. And I love Maker Camp, but we are moving and working and talking, and it is nonstop. It is not a relaxing trip. It is a exciting trip and a fun and crazy interesting trip, but it's not relaxing. It's not
right,
and we are used to relaxing camping pretty much.
Yeah, Yeah, it's like the cliche of you know, or not the of like your cup is full, right? We talked about that last week, but like Maker Camp is that you're just constantly getting your cup poured into the whole time, just full. So it's not relaxing because you're taking in so much and you're talking to so many people and you're doing things, you're hanging out, and like from when you wake up until you go to bed, it's like nonstop, awesome the whole time, but nonstop. You know, that's what's so cool about it. But yeah, just being able to like that against the second camping weekend in a row where it was just a couple families and a bunch of kids that were having fun, you know, so all the kids were kind of managing themselves and the adults were just hanging around and chatting and, you know, some quiet stuff and, you know, some like just really nice, really calm, really like comfortable. It was really cool. And then, on Sunday we came back from camping, and on the way I stopped at a flea market, an indoor flea market, antique mall type thing in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And it was a big indoor market. It was really good, and they had a couple really nice, you know, tool booths, which I'm always looking for. But I did find I found a couple axe heads, which I'm always looking for, of course, and I found a Mora knife, which is nice. I don't, you know, you like Mora knives are not expensive. I think it was like $14. And if you buy them online, they're like $18 or, you know, $20, depending on, you know, 40 is like the most expensive Mora there is. And that's like the Garberg, which is specifically designed and made for bushcrafting, you know. But even that is like, as opposed to any other, you know, individual maker made something, which would be a couple $100s, you know, it's still reasonably cheap. So I found that, and I got a, was it?
How much was it?
$14.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so just like a simple carbon steel, you know, kind of bushcrafty knife with a plastic handle that like, you know, snaps in like the same type of like Kydex type thing, but made out of plastic. They're really great knives. They're for the price and what you get, they're awesome. So I picked one up for fun. Got a couple axe heads for, I got a boy's axe, like a 2-pound boy's axe, and then a 3-pound full size single bit axe for $10 each. And then I found, I was walking around, and I see a pair of sheep shears, and I had recently, a couple weeks ago, I got another pair of sheep shears and with the intent to make a couple knives out of sheep shears. And I had seen someone do it a while back, maybe sometime within the last year. I saw a post on Instagram and someone had made a knife out of sheep shears. So you like cut, they come in, you know, one thing. It's like scissors, like the old school scissors to shear a sheep. And then you cut off the spring part on the back, and you have these two blades on handles that are already basically ready to be turned into a knife. And the handle is like a half, it's like a half of a cylinder, right? So it's like a half circle of a cylinder that goes down. And then all you have to do is basically sand and fit a piece of wood or something, handle material, to fit into that. And then you can, you know, attach it, and then you have a full handle, and then you have this like really cool, great shape. I love the shape of the shears. They're all this kind of really nice kind of chef's knife, petty knife shape. So I had this idea to try my hand at that. And so I found a pair there for like $5. And then I found another pair for $9. So I got two more pairs. So I actually had three pairs. So I made one as like, I wanted to do one as kind of a prototype, you know, a demo, like let me try one, and then with the intention that we'll do a couple more for a video. So
that'd be great. I love the idea of doing something that's already half built.
Yeah, right. <I'm> like, there's no time at all.
This is great. We don't have to shape the metal or anything. A lot less grinding. Just got to put an edge on it. This is
awesome. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, and yeah, they're so cool. And like, you know, I was thinking, because you almost always when I'm thinking about making stuff, it's always something for myself. And these automatically, I thought like, oh, what a cool way to make something that I can sell. You know, like, like I have chef's knives and stuff, and these are all, they're about like the heel is about 2 inches or 1¾ inches, something like that. So they actually fit into my knife block really well in my house, like with the standard chef's knife, you know? So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, they fit into a standard knife block. And I looked on Instagram and on Google at other sheep shear knives, and I just wasn't happy with the way other people have done the handles. Like, some of them were cool, but I would say like 90% of what I'd seen on Instagram, I wasn't happy with. You know, it was like, just didn't feel right. They felt either clunky or too curvy or like heavy on the end. And so I needed like something about it. I don't know. It was like, it needed to be lighter at the end of the handle, like the pommel end, you know, because something about the way that the knives are designed. So I kind of had this idea in my mind that it would start up near the bolster and it would kind of widen out kind of in the middle of your hand. And then it had this like longer taper at the end that would get kind of skinny at the end. And so that was kind of in my mind. And, I drew out a design real quickly at work. And then I made the first one last night and I'm super, super happy with the design, how it turned out. It definitely feels like what I wanted to. It's a little bit longer than a typical knife handle, but there's something really nice about that it like kind of, it hangs out behind. I don't know. It just feels really nice. And so I made the first one of the Osage, and then I did the second one this evening out of Desert Ironwood. So I have these two, like a brown and yellow, that are, you know, side by side. So it's really cool. I'm really excited. I've just done the rough shaping of the handles. So like now I have to do all the sanding and polishing and stuff, and then oiling and get them all, like get the handles done really well. And then I'll glue them in, and then I'll drill and rivet. I think that's the order that I'm going to do it. I have to kind of figure it out, but this is the one, this is the pair that I'm doing first to figure out all the techniques and what works well. And then we'll do a video. So
yeah. Heck yeah.
They're cool looking. I really like them.
I'm excited. I also want to do, before it gets too cold, we got to do a rock bouncing video with Derek.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully get him in the next couple weeks. Like we'll pick a warm day.
Yeah.
While he can still stand the
river. Being in the river, yeah.
We'll have to get him some waders or something. But that'd be a funny video. Him with like rubber waders and a winter coat on and a hat, still like squatting in the river, you know?
Yeah.
Like no one does this in the winter.
Well, it's like Andy Goldsworthy. He does a lot of you know, site specific installation and sculpture with stuff, but he does like some stuff in the winter and some stuff in the summer. And yeah, he's always like bundled up and like crazy gloves and stuff. And so that's, I think Derek is like the Andy Goldsworthy. There you go. He does like cairns and stuff with rocks as well, and does a lot of like balancing things. And he'll take like icicles, and in the winter he'll break off icicles and he'll put them back together. You know, in like, he'll like hold them together and like let the water like refreeze them back into like crazy shapes and stuff. So yeah, it's cool stuff. But yeah, but that was really good. It was really fun to, I mean, it's always fun to go to a flea market, but I just asked a bunch of people like, what's their favorite thing? What's the thing they're always looking for at flea markets? And so I was kind of looking for some of those things. Like every time I'd come across a booth that had like records in it, you know, I like kind of glimpse at the records and see like, are these good records? Are these like, you know, the Christmas albums or like the old like 70s, you know, yeah, like
Humperdinck,
yeah, whatever, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah, like I don't know, that guy, he sold a million records.
Yeah, right. You always find them.
No, I was at an antique mall today.
Oh, nice. Which one?
One up in Shrewsbury.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
The one that's back a little bit, yeah, like it's back off the road.
It's not, you're not going to find big deals. It's pretty, right. It's a pretty high end one to a degree. Not like an antique shop high end, but you know, pretty expensive. But I found some records, and we end up always now, it's just, we're finding stuff for Maeve half the time.
Nice.
Like old books and toys, and we found a Disney record. And then I found a soundtrack of the Jimi Hendrix documentary that was made in like the 70s. And I had it on DVD and I loved it. And there's this, he does this acoustic song on a 12 string. And it's just him and there's this white background. And I always loved that song. And
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. That song's on this record. So, and I was like, oh man. So I picked that up. It was only $10. The only problem is they put them, a lot of people do it, they wrap them in plastic.
Right.
So you'd have to like open it up because you want to check if the record's good. So you're kind of gambling, but for $10 wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked at it because we put the Disney one on first, but Disney one's pristine.
Good. That's a positive.
I feel like half the time, if the cover is in good shape, you can usually the rest of it.
Yeah.
Give or take. We'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten a couple good things from that antique small as well in the past. Cool.
It's just an interesting place. They got a lot of good stuff, even if you don't want to buy it. You only have to look at one thing in a booth to know if it's overpriced or underpriced. You know.
Yeah, right.
Well, this is what they're pricing stuff at. All
right. Right. Yep.
But
yeah, so, there's a fireman's axe there, and that's been there every time I've gone back, and it's like $160 or something. It's a B&O Railroad fireman's axe, which is pretty cool. But I've seen it. It's like kind of migrated around from different booths and stuff before. But yeah, I'm like, it's still here. It's still not getting sold. You know, like, but I found a couple good things there. I found some old tools and stuff that there's that section that goes upstairs. You know, you like start on the top level and then it goes down to the bottom level. But if you go straight ahead, there's a part that goes up to another top level and then down. I found a couple cool things out there because they've got some tools and stuff up there. So. Or at least they have, you know. Antiques malls always change, which is kind of cool. Yeah. You know, different people coming in, but it's
fun. So, did that. I've been looking for old cameras. I got an idea I want to do, and I'll talk about it now, but I've been looking.
Oh, yeah.
They call them toy cameras. They're basically just cheap plastic cameras, but you get really cool, interesting photos because there's light leaks, and the lenses are like plastic half the time.
Right.
So you get these weird distorted images, which are cool, man. Like, obviously, I can get a perfect clear shot.
Right.
Like, or, you know, you've got the nice Nikon, or I don't know if I still have it. And then I have my DSLR and my Nikon. If I want to get really nice photos, I can get that. But there's something cool about an old toy camera that's a little messed up. And it inspired me because I saw someone put out, I don't know if it's Kodak or something, they put out I think they call it half frame, where they split 35mm frame into two, so you get double the exposures for every roll.
Oh, cool.
And it's thinner. It got me interested in it because I was like, then you're taking shots that the format is actually like a phone.
All right, so tall.
You can take these kind of tall photos.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention, you get double the shots on every roll.
Right.
So you're getting like 70-some shots if you have a 32?
Yeah, 32, like, right, yeah.
Crazy. So, and it's going to be less quality, obviously, because you're taking a picture on half the format of what it would be. But that's the cool thing, some grain and light leak and things like that and warpage and all that. So I've got some ideas, and we'll work on that later. I'll share if I can figure out how to do what I want to do. We'll share it and talk about it.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I know, like when you sent me that idea, and we're thinking about, I was kind of thinking about through the different ways to achieve what you want to achieve, and it could be an interesting, an interesting problem solving thing. So, you know, design, try to figure out how to make it work. So, but yeah, like you said, we can talk about that more in the future.
Yeah. Going back, steal my idea before
I know, right? Yeah. I did say, who was it? Dave Picciuto, Make Something on YouTube. He did a video on taking an old roll of film. He like found an unopened roll of film from a long time ago. And so he took a couple rolls of film out and took a bunch of pictures and stuff and got them developed. And it was that whole thing. It was like, there's, you know, film degrades over time, especially if you're not using it, you know, so you get all these like crazy things. And he said, yeah, like funky colors and, you know, weird things that happen to it. So he got a lot of really cool stuff. So if you guys want to check something out like that, you can check out his channel as well and see, he does some cool stuff with photography.
Yeah. So cool. I've been doing that and editing and working, and We're back to it soon, and let's keep at it.
Sweet.
Right, anything else? Do you want to do recommendations?
Sure. Yeah. My recommendation this week is Baker Forge and Tool on Instagram. I just found this Instagram page, and they do some amazing knife making. It's a company. They say that it's like a metal. Hold on, let me see. I'm trying to look it up real quick. Baker Forge and let's see, accounts. What it says is like metal supplier. That's what it calls itself. I think there's a couple people who are you know, making knives and things, but they specialize in bronze mai and copper mai and Damascus and things. So like they're putting in the different colors, and that's something that like hasn't piqued my interest all that much. You know, I like the look of them sometimes, but I'm always kind of like, eh, you know, like, I don't know. There's maybe that's a little bit too over the top for my aesthetic. You know, like I'm a very like function over form type of person in most things. You know, I like the function to be, I like the function to drive the form. So, but this is some pretty spectacular, different types of Damascus and, you know, bronze mai and copper mai, you know, adding copper and bronze into it and getting these different patterns. And they have this other thing that they do in some of the knives where they have a fuller is the, like, the concavity that's ground in as like, they'll call it like a blood groove or something like that. You know, so you have this like kind of groove in it that takes away some material and adds whatever to it. Well, some, they have this kind of like serpentine winding. I don't know what you call the opposite of a fuller. It's like coming up out of the steel instead of cutting down into it. It's coming up. So they got this like kind of funky, you know, serpentine thing that winds its way up the blade on some of their blades. That's like a negative of a fuller. And it's like just super cool. You know, it's like, I don't understand. I guess they start with a thicker piece of material and then grind down into it to make this thing stick up out of it. And just really cool. And then, you know, the way they're doing different types of, the, what they call copper mascus and stuff. It's really beautiful work. And they also do a ton of awesome, reels and things just showing the making of this different stuff. So check it out on Instagram, Baker Forge and Tool. Lots of cool things.
Right on. Did I say I had a recommendation earlier?
You did.
Did I cheat? What was it?
I don't remember.
The
video, a show.
I don't know. That's all right. I don't know if I recommend it already, but I'll just do a show. Did I already say Andor, the Star Wars show?
No, I don't think so. Not yet.
Oh, dude, it's so good.
Oh, nice.
So good. Like, Obi-Wan was disappointing, but Andor's surprisingly amazing. So nice. Really good. It's worth getting a Disney thing for a month and just watch that. I don't know what it is. It's just done right. I think it kind of went under the radar with all the other shows that came around.
Yeah, right.
And it's just this great like prequel to a prequel. Like there was that Rogue One movie.
Yeah,
but this is before that, and that the one guy Andor. It's like about him and what he goes through, but it's all the characters around him. But there's every character so well done, and there's this weird, like, it's a slower pace and it's simpler. It's like just simple storylines that are exciting, but simple. You don't have to throw twists and big epic things, even though there is that, but. They do, like, I think what they're doing is like little 3-episode arcs for this season. So there's like something going on, and then 3 episodes, they kind of resolve it, then they move on to the next thing. It's like these mini stories within this broad story. And every actor is great and likable, and it's just really well done and really interesting. And yeah, it's great. So, you know, if you're into that stuff, go watch Andor because it's awesome.
Nice, right on. Yeah, I've definitely been, that's been on my radar for something to watch. I'm still working through the original Game of Thrones series to get to the end of that so that I can watch The House of the Dragon.
Oh, and House of the Dragon, too.
Yeah.
But Andor is the best, I think it's like the best Star Wars thing since, I don't know, it's got to be like one of my favorite Star Wars things ever.
Nice. It's like Mandalorian and
stuff. Mandalorian and that, like, it's right up there with that to me.
Nice. Right on. Sweet. Cool. All right. Well, another week in the books. I have some other stuff to talk about, but that can go on to next week, like always. Go ahead and check out our latest YouTube video on YouTube with the, you know, just titled Maker, you know, which is, I thought that was fun. You know, lots of really cool perspectives on what it is to be a maker, or, you know, maker-centric ideas and things. So if you're interested in that type of thing, head over to YouTube and check those out. And subscribe and like and let us know what you think and comment, all those things. You know, as you know, if you listen, we talk about them all the time. They really, they're important to us. So thank you to all of you who do that. You guys can also head over to Instagram and follow both Devin and I there, at The Art of Craftsmanship for myself and at The Art of Camera Guy. Devin puts up lots of fun stuff as well. I don't want to say lots of fun stuff, but puts up fun stuff occasionally.
I am a support for The Art of Craftsmanship Instagram.
Yeah. You're right. It's great. It's fun to see the things that you put up, because it's from your perspective on stuff, which is just fun.
Like you're the misspelled title, which
the miscreate.
I didn't catch until it was like done.
That's one of those words that I spell wrong often. Not it's like, so the word is create, create, but I just did like creat, left the e off. I was like looking through, I was like, what did I spell wrong? I'm like, I got financial right, you know, like I'm like looking. I was like, oh dang, missed the e.
Well, and the tip is in what I said.
Right,
like, I said I would create in capital. I did the caps.
The word, right, yeah.
Spelled correctly. Yeah. I would create a spell check, and it just busts me a little bit. But yeah, I missed it. We both stood there and watched you write it, and we're like, okay, yeah, cool, next one. And then I edited it and put it together and did it, and then.
Yeah, there were even like words where I'd like mess it up a little bit and kind of fixed as I went, you know, which is fine. Yeah. I didn't mind those, you know.
And yeah, oh man, and maybe we talked about that, but I think it turned out great.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Nice to have, so to nice. See it, yeah. You can see a little bit of the hand, and you can see the words being erased as you go, you know, towards the second line of stuff. But it's this weird, like, handmade thing. It's great. I think they're really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. It turned out really good. Yeah, fun stuff. So check that out. And, yeah, check out Devin busting my balls on Instagram, which is always fun. And, yeah, and then if you guys are so inspired and want to head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and support us there, it makes a big difference. There are lots of different levels over there, and so you can support us at any level. And you just, that all that support goes back into the channel and back into the podcast, and, lets us keep doing this as much as we want to do it. And, you know, the more support, the more we want to do it, or maybe the more inspiration we have to keep going, which is great. So for those of you who have inspired us that way, thank you so much. And if you just want to listen for free, that's great too. Maybe just share it with somebody, leave us a rating somewhere, and tell your friends about the podcast and all the fun stuff. And it's a community that we are trying to continue to build. So tell everyone who supports us that way.
Tell your rich friend to support us financially.
And exactly. You can listen. Yeah, there you go. Oh, sweet. And maybe keep your eye out on Instagram for some sheep shear knives coming up, because I think I'm gonna post them there for sale when I finish them. So
sweet,
we'll see. Start making a little side money, a little side hustle. Cool. All right, everybody, thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.